Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said he intends to travel to Texas and to Washington. This is part of the St. Patrick's Day ministerial visits to the United States. He was speaking on his way into Cabinet this morning, and Micheál Martin said he hasn't yet received the invitation to meet the US President Donald Trump, but he said these things get worked out closer to the visit itself. Government ministers will visit almost 40 locations around the world as part of the annual programme, 10 of whom are going to the United States. The Taoiseach said this morning he's taken aback by suggestions from the Labour Party to boycott the visits to the United States on St. Patrick's Day. He described their views as reckless and irresponsible. He said they ignore the livelihoods of people, the length and breadth of Ireland. Well, joining me now from the Oireachtas studio is Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, and Nisho Mwiri, who is Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay North. And thank you both for joining us from the Oireachtas studio this morning. So, Richard Boyd Barrett, you believe the programme should be curtailed. So, just to get a handle on where you're coming from, do you believe in general we should be heading off on 40 different visits worldwide to promote Brand Ireland?
Well, I don't particularly like the idea of Brand Ireland and corporatising our identity or our national day. I don't have an objection to government representatives developing cultural trade links or meeting community leaders in the United States or anywhere else. What I do have a problem with is the idea that the Taoiseach of this country would celebrate our National Day with Donald Trump when Donald Trump is, to just name a few of the long list of threats he's making to the world at the moment, is threatening to restart the war in Gaza by demanding a breach of the terms of the ceasefire, which comes on top of, you know, more than 70,000 people being slaughtered by Israel. He is essentially trying to unravel that ceasefire. He's threatening to ethnically cleanse millions of Palestinians from Gaza. And he is starting a global trade war and demanding that the world spend more on weapons and arms. I mean, just to list a few of the very, very dangerous threats he's making. Now, why we would want to celebrate our National Day, particularly when our national identity is very much tied up with our history as being a country that won its independence and established its identity by opposing war and empire and colonialism, I don't see why we would sort of bend the knee and plumose Donald Trump on our National Day.
Okay, Nisha, why would we do it? Why would we bend the knee to Donald Trump?
So thanks for having me on, Claire. Just your last contributor there spent, you know, a few minutes talking about headwinds in terms of a trade war. There's never a more important time than now, in my view. We need a full court press in terms of engagement with the US. So it's very important that we have political, not just cultural and economic representatives, political representatives travelling there, making the case, working bilaterally with the, obviously through the EU, but putting our best foot forward in terms of the US. Donald Trump is the president of the US. He is democratically elected. He has a mandate, but our relations with the US don't encompass one individual. It's about the office. Mm-hmm. It's about the country. It's about the long links through many, many years that we have built, developed, sustained and nurtured.
Okay,
it's never more important than now to maintain those
links. Okay, that's your point of view. But would you acknowledge at least that there's a greater moral dilemma here than there was in the past? Like, here is someone who's left us all squirming in relation to his remarks, which Richard has mentioned there, on annexing Gaza for use as a luxury holiday resort.
Yeah, so the best way, Claire, to deal with this is to engage. You can actually, like, let's be clear here, right? We're a small country, but we have excellent access into the US. We have to engage. Go to the US, engage, deliver messages like Leo Varadkar did in the past, deliver the messages that we want to deliver, but we have to engage. Richard would like Micheál Martin to stand outside the White House in front of with a megaphone and shout at the White House. That will not work.
Richard, what are you advocating? So let's say the invitation comes from the White House. It arrives, and are you saying that we as a state should send back a strongly worded letter that cuts off our diplomatic ties for the next 4 years? Where's the sense in that?
I think that, I mean, over the last 2 years, and by the way, this isn't exclusive to Trump, although Trump is bidding it up to a terrifying level, but I equally thought it was wrong when Joe Biden was backing Israel while it was committing horrific genocidal massacres in Gaza, arming them to the teeth to celebrate our National Day with them. And now Trump is threatening the ethnic cleansing of millions of Palestinians, and he's threatening literally this weekend to unravel the ceasefire after the slaughter we've seen for the last 16 months. Now, there is a point at which you say we've got to actually stand up against this stuff. And this person has shown no interest whatsoever in a meaningful or rational discussion. I mean, to be honest.
But I'm asking you about the consequences of that, Richard. Like, does that mean that we cut off diplomatic ties for the next 4 years or take the risk of that happening?
Well, I mean, Nisha is sort of diminishing the idea that it's sometimes you resist and protest. Well, I'd remind Nisha that, for example, the disastrous war in Vietnam was stopped precisely by protests and resistance in Vietnam and protests in America across the world. And so I think we have reached a moment where we have to recognise when a genocide has been committed and where we have a presidency where they are threatening to ratchet up global trade war, militarism, and the mass ethnic cleansing of people in Palestine, that this is a moment where you've got to stand up very decisively against that and not pretend this is sort of okay in the normal run of diplomacy.
All right, let's have a look at how other people are doing it. I just want to listen to this brief clip. This is Peter Mandelson, the UK's ambassador to the United States.
We've got to take all these issues as they come, realise that the president has a very strong and clear mandate for change in the United States. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're going to agree in Britain with every single detail of what he does, but we have to respect and understand what drives him, what his mandate is to do, and how his allies need to adjust sometimes.
So, Richard, that's it, really. That's the argument in a nutshell, isn't it? Like, he's decided to play Donald Trump at his own game, flatter him if needs be, to push ahead with Britain's own interests.
Well, now, that's Peter Mandelson, who was part of the Blair government that teamed up with George Bush to conduct a war in Iraq that killed a million people based on a pack of lives of weapons of mass destruction. So I wouldn't be taking Peter Mandelson as some sort of authority about how to engage with an American government that is threatening war and hell. That's what Trump is threatening this weekend. Hell to be unleashed on the people of Gaza when they've already had hell unleashed on them.
All right, so you don't respect Peter Mandelson. What about what Micheál Martin says? You're ignoring the livelihoods of people the length and breadth of Ireland. Let's bring it home.
No, I think Trump is doing that, right? And what we have to recognise is the agenda that he is threatening is actually threatening a global recession, which is going to seriously impact on the people of America and the world if his very, very dangerous policies are pursued. And I think we have to, and of course, you know, very immediately threatening war crimes, things that that breach international law,
right,
and ethnic cleansing. I mean, it doesn't really get much worse than that, Claire. And at what point do we stand on what I think, particularly on our National Day? I mean, our heritage is very much tied up with our historical position as an oppressed people subject to colonialism.
Nisha, just let's imagine this scenario, because this could very likely happen, that, you know, Donald Trump brings Micheál Martin into the Oval Office for a dressing down. You know, he could be using this occasion to send us a few of his own difficult messages about what he perceives to be the trade surplus in our favour. Have we gamed that out? What do we do if that happens?
Micheál Martin is an accomplished politician. He and he will be well able to deal with those sorts of situations as they arise, without a doubt. And it's so, as I said, it's so important that we dare. But I just want to say to you, you mentioned the strongly worded letter. So we send a strongly worded letter.
If I didn't.
It was mentioned on this discussion. 1.7 million visitors in in 2019 to Ireland, US visitors to Ireland pre-COVID in 2019. We send that strongly worded letter, all right? And then those numbers fall off. Richard Boyd Barrett won't be back in the studio thanking me for having any part in any. He will be lacerating the government for not doing enough to increase tourism numbers. Let's be very clear here. We have to deliver messages to Washington, to the White House, but also protect our own interests.
You're saying to Richard and to others who don't agree with this, you've got to hold your nose and go in there.
No. Listen, we have to protect our interests and progress matters and develop cases as we see fit how best to do that. Donald Trump, by the way, in terms of polling, Donald Trump, the US electorate are very happy with what the way Donald Trump is doing at the moment, based on recent polling in the US. We don't hear that message here.
So we just have to accept that all hell is going to break loose in Gaza on Saturday.
That's not what I said, Claire. The US polling is very positive for Trump. In one area it isn't, though, which is in the whole area of cost of living. All right. That's where Trump is actually under pressure. And we had the discussion on tariffs previously. Tariffs will hurt the US public if Trump keeps going with them.
Well, that's very worrying, to be honest, that Nisha is now sort of semi-praising Trump and saying...
I drew attention to polling information in the US. I have many issues with the Trump administration, but I understand and respect the fact that he is an elected politician, he holds office, and we have links that go back to the US many years.
We have links with the American people and with the best traditions of the United States, and I'm very much for fostering and developing relations with the best of the United States.
But not on a political level. You already said send cultural and economic representatives, but no politicians.
Donald Trump is a dangerous megalomaniac warmonger who has no interest in rational discussion.
Do you accept he has a mandate? Do you accept he has the support of the majority of the US people?
Yes.
So we have to deal with him.
Sadly, he has a mandate. Yeah. Sadly, he has
That's
a mandate.
That's democracy.
But when somebody is threatening war and hell and threatening the global order in a very, very dangerous way, I think there is a point at which you stand up against that kind of thing. And that is our history. But sadly, of course, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments have facilitated US warmongering over many US administrations, allowing millions of US troops, for example, through Shannon Airport, in order to prosecute a war in Iraq.
They're trying to protect Irish jobs. I mean, that is the bottom line here.
First of all, surely the lesson that we should be taking from what Trump, the protectionist road that Trump is taking, is that we need to very rapidly, and mainstream economists are saying this, is diversify our economy and develop our own ability to have a sustainable economy which is not dependent on the whims of the Elon Musk.
How long, Richard, do you think that will take? How long do you think that will take?
Well, it's a pity.
Is that a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
As long as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in government, it won't happen at all. Because Fianna Fáil, you've been in charge of the economy for the last 20 years and you've made the economy completely vulnerable to the whims of a tiny number of companies.
No, we have attracted FDI successfully year after year into this country. We have a reliance on FDI and we have to protect it.
Yes, and at the cost of having a domestic economy that is very, very vulnerable to the whims of a tiny number of companies.
And we have to work on that economy and continue to develop it.
Nisha, you've completely failed to do that. And you've been
Richard,
in government
Richard,
forever.
One of the most successful
Richard,
economies
moment.
In the European Union,
Nisha,
Richard.
Has
if
our,
you just look
Nisha,
at the numbers. Yes.
Has our position on Gaza made the trip more difficult for us when it comes in particular to the Occupied Territories Bill, and how will we address that with Donald Trump if, as one of our listeners points out, we are actually invited because the invitation hasn't come yet, we're aware.
Yeah, we have to engage, Claire. It's really important. Our diplomatic service, our politicians, when they're over there, they engage. I mean, look, these, like Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, are accomplished, experienced politicians, and they will engage on that matter. It will not be easy, but it has to be done.
Do you feel that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris have a responsibility to point out to Donald Trump that there are people, many of them represented by Richard Boyd Barrett's view this morning, who do not want them standing in the Oval Office with him on St. Patrick's Day?
Do they have a responsibility to point that out?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably fairly clear. It's pretty clear anyway in terms of some of the media coverage here. But equally, there are people who feel that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris should be making the case in the White House in the Capitol buildings in the US, you know, in the various cities, in the various, you know, in the various administrations, state administrations around the country. Those cases have to be made. We need to be there making them.
All right, we'll leave that one there. But thank you both for joining us. That was Richard Boyd Barrett from People Before Profit and Nisha Omwari from Fine Gael. Coming up, news that Airbus is looking at a plan to put double-decker seating plans in economy class on planes. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.